It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Joe Maldonado just wants to have fun with his friends.
Well, I like to go camping. I like to do science experiments. We ate cupcakes and stuff. It was fun, but...
In December, Joe was kicked out of Boy Scout Pack 87 in Secaucus, New Jersey, because he is transgender, born a female.
This never happened in my life. I didn't do anything wrong.
Joe has since gotten support from all over the country. And after a month of not hearing from the Boy Scouts, his mother, Christy Maldonado, took their battle to the court last Thursday. She filed a complaint with the State Division of Civil Rights.
This was a wake-up call for him of how society could be so cruel. He didn't understand why. Because he feels like all the other kids.
For more than 100 years, the Boy Scouts of America has deferred to the information on a child's birth certificate to determine eligibility. But late Monday evening, the organization changed its stance, stating, "Starting today, we will accept and register youth in the Cub and Boy Scout programs based on the gender identity indicated on the application." Joe says he should have been accepted all along.
I feel satisfied, but I don't feel too happy.
Joe tells us he isn't sure if he'll rejoin the Boy Scouts, but is hopeful his story will help other transgender children in the future. Reporting from Secaucus, New Jersey, Tracy Carrasco, CBS 2 News.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That's something that just happened recently. The Boy Scouts now announcing that rather than using birth certificates to determine the gender of the boys, that want to join Boy Scouts, they're going to now rely on what gender they think they are. Sandy Rios in the morning with you, wondering, you know, what difference does that make? Well, like, you know, the Boy Scouts have always been on the cutting edge. In 2013, they decided, in a very controversial decision, to allow boys in the Scouts that were openly gay. And then in 2015, they took it even further and said that even Scout leaders could be gay. So now they've opened up the ranks. So that means that boys who think they're girls can, or girls that think they're boys can now be in the boys' tents, do everything the boys do. That's really what it meant, what it means. So what difference really does it mean? Paul Kinger has joined me. And Paul is an author and professor of political science at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. You know Paul because we've talked before, but it's been a while. He is the author of so many fine books, God and Ronald Reagan, God and George W. Bush. I think the last time I talked to Paul was when he wrote, The Takedown, which was the sort of the story of how the left and communism were trying to take down marriage and the family. And so I've asked Paul to join me to talk about a number of things. But first, since this is a news story of the week, let's talk about this. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Sandy. Great to be with you again. Thanks.
My pleasure. Hey, well, so what's the big deal here, Paul? This is kind of what culture's doing. So why is this a big deal for the Boy Scouts to be doing this?
Yeah, you're right. And by the way, it's funny because, yeah, the last time we did talk, it was when we were talking about the left's takedown of family and marriage. And that was, I could tell you when it was, because I remember when the book came out, Sandy, it was May 2015. And then 1 month later, the culture and the country redefined family and marriage with the Obergefell decision. And what happened is the left wasn't happy with that. And so immediately right after that, they started redefining gender. And that should be a lesson to the Boy Scouts and other groups. You know, you send up the white flag of capitulation on, you know, maybe a so-called gay issue or a family issue, and then you think that the human nature redefiners are going to be happy. Well, they're not. If you let them know that you're willing to cave in, then they come right back after you. And so, you know, not content with forcing the Boy Scouts to change their position on, quote unquote, gay members or Scout leaders, now they've pressured the Boy Scouts into allowing in girls. And so now girls can become Boy Scouts, but not exactly. Only girls who want to be identified as boys can be allowed into the Boy Scouts. So, you know, let's not tiptoe around this. This is a combination of madness and cowardice, and it's exactly what happens when you let the human nature redefiners have their way with one thing. They keep coming back at you again and again. They take the club and they swing it and they whack you again, again and again until they take over your organization and tell you exactly what to do. So now the Boy Scouts are also Girl Scouts, or that is, girls who want to be called boys can now be members of the Boy Scouts.
You know, Paula, one of the things that we've talked about before is that this is not just a movement of the LGBT rights crowd. It isn't just about that. This is about something much deeper. And I've heard you, as we've discussed it, trace this back to Marxism and the deconstruction of the family. So say a word about that. What is going on? What is the deeper thing that's going on?
Well, it really is, and I know people listening from the left, and they'll be writing us up on this for me using this phrase, but please bear in mind, I'm a political scientist, I teach ideologies, and I've taught communism for decades, and, you know, one of the ideologies I teach, one of the isms, in addition to fascism and, you know, liberalism, conservatism, progressivism, is totalitarianism, and totalitarianism is about transforming human nature. And I do that lecture every fall semester at Grove City College, and I go through Zbigniew Brzezinski and Carl Friedrich's 7 characteristics of totalitarians. This is something that they wrote and academic publication years ago. But I always tell them that totalitarians, really 3 words, they seek to transform human nature. And that's what these radical secular left people are doing with all of this stuff. They're trying to literally transform human nature itself. And you know, let me be blunt here again, because apparently, I don't know, maybe our public schools, our government schools, our collective schools, maybe they're not teaching biology and math anymore. So let me try to explain this. There are 37 trillion cells in the human body. All right, if people are home listening, grab a pencil. 37 trillion cells in the human body. 37 trillion cells. Each of these contains 46 chromosomes. All right, we all learned this, all right? So each of these cells contains 46 chromosomes. If you multiply 37 trillion cells times 46 chromosomes, you're talking, 1,500 trillion chromosomes, or I think the actual technical term, Sandy, I think it's 1.5 quadrillion chromosomes. So if you've got this 9-year-old girl, she's got 1.5 quadrillion XX chromosomes. She doesn't have a single Y chromosome in her entire body. 1.5 quadrillion XX chromosomes versus 0 Y chromosomes. Zero. And you know, do not force me to say that she's thus a boy because she's feeling like a boy. I mean, I'm sorry, but biology is biology. Math is math. We got to draw the line somewhere. A cat is a cat. A dog is a dog. A tree is a tree. And you know, a girl with 1.5 quadrillion XX chromosomes and no Y chromosomes is a girl. And you know, that's just simply, do our schools no longer teach biology or math? I don't mean to sound insensitive or mean. I mean, this girl is struggling with something, and I swear, God is my witness, I do want to be sensitive to it. I really do. She's got an issue here, and I want to be helpful and not cruel, but it doesn't help her to try to help her go against 1.5 quadrillion chromosomes. I mean, that is a war against nature that the craziest liberal leftist cannot win. You're not helping her by trying to convince her of something else. You know, the math and the biology is against her. Nature is nature. Call it that pesky natural law thing again.
You know, a couple things come to mind, because it is part of the sexual anarchy we have discussed before. I know we've talked about this, whether underground pushing smash monogamy, whether underground being Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers and others who did not believe that sex should be exclusively between one man and one woman. It should always be group sex. My point is that the left is always pushing sexual anarchy. So there's that commonness. But what you just said reminds me of Jesse Waters, who I really enjoy on Fox, was interviewing a girl, many girls, but one particular girl, just this past week. And he was talking about the hatred and the vilification of men on the campus, wherever he was. And so he asked this girl some question. I don't remember what, but the point is, when she responded, she said, "I can do anything you can do and better." And I thought to myself, yeah. You know, Jesse's what, 6'4", 6'5", probably, big man. And this girl, little girl, is telling him that, and that it's just this culture thinks that if I think it, it must be.
Well, so if Jesse picks up a, you know, 135-pound barbell, right, that's a regular barbell with 245 plates on each side, and starts pushing it over his head 10 times, and then puts it down on the floor and says to her, "Okay, go ahead." And hopefully there will be a liberal there to tell the girl, "Yeah, go ahead." And then she could hoist it up in the air and drop it on her head and smash her skull. And then the liberal will be helping her, right? Helping her once again. Again, facts are facts. So you mentioned sexual anarchy. This is gender anarchy. This is biology anarchy. This is math anarchy. This is common sense anarchy. And you don't help people by teaching them to go against their nature and lie to themselves. Listen, again, liberals, I used to be an atheist, okay? Or I was an agnostic anyway. I was a biochem biophysics major. I was pre-med. I did this before I ever got interested in the Cold War and communism and political science, before I became a Christian, all of that stuff. And you know, if you had simply told me as a math person that if you're going to try to get a girl who's got 1.5 quadrillion XX chromosomes, not one Y chromosome in her entire body, and you got to try to trick 1.5 quadrillion chromosomes into thinking that they're Y's when they're X's, you're in for one heck of a battle that I think she's going to lose. I don't think this is going to come out good. So instead, try to help her with whatever problems she's going through. And look, you and I both know as parents. I mean, they're a 9-year-old. You can't mess with a 9-year-old on this stuff. Maybe somebody who's 40 years old, who's conflicted about these issues and has a lot of time to think about it. But my son, Sandy, was telling me, I probably got to be careful what I say here on the air, but he was at an event recently.
Paul, I'm going to interrupt you because we have to take a break, and I don't want to interrupt your story.
Sure, sure.
So hold that thought. When we come back, let's talk about that. And then I also want to pivot to the Women's March that took place just a few weeks ago. And just, you've written recently some things that I think we need to know about the deep underpinnings of that event as well. This is Sandy Rios, so my guest is Paul Kinger. Again, he's an author and professor of political science. If I ever thought about where I want my kids to go to college, I think based on just knowing Paul Kinger, it would be Grove City. I highly recommend it. We're going to take a break. Be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Thanks for listening this morning. It's always a pleasure when I have someone like Paul Kinger, Dr. Paul Kinger, to just talk for an hour. We don't often do that. We usually do the news and do a sprint to the end every day. But today we're talking about deep issues that can't be discussed very easily in just one segment. Paul Kinger is an author of so many fine books, and let me just commend some of them. God and George W. Bush, God and Hillary Clinton, Dupes, How America's Adversaries Have Manipulated Progressives for a Century, The Communist, Frank Marshall Davis, The Untold Story of Barack Obama's Mentor, and on I could go, but you get the drift. Paul teaches political science at Grove City College, and we were just talking about the fact that the Boy Scouts now have decided that they will allow little girls who think they're boys, if they just think they're boys, biologically they're girls, to be Boy Scouts. It's just an amazing phenomena, a twisted example of the confusion in our culture. And Paul, before we took the break, you have a little boy, and you said he had an experience that you were going to share.
Sure. Well, it's actually my older son, who is 19 years old, and he was at an event a couple weekends ago, and it was a religious group. It was a youth group, and there was a 9-year-old girl walking around wearing a badge that said, "I am a he." And this was brand new. This just never happened before, that she just suddenly came out as the boy. And he said to me, he said, "Dad, we don't know what to do about this." One youth group leader says, "No, we can't call her a he because she's a girl." And the other said, "Well, let's just call her what she wants to be called, because she wants to be called a he." And so, you know, this is going to, it's going to set up a battle in the church over how to handle this. But you know, this is the kind of thing that's going on. And the fact of the matter is that it's just at 9 years old, I don't care how liberal you are, if you're listening, please put aside your ideology, please. I'm putting mine aside too. I'm putting the biology cap, common sense cap back on again. It's different if a 39-year-old feels this way. But if a 9-year-old feels this way, you're playing with fire here, okay? This is, you should be able to understand that at 9 years old, you can't really know this stuff, all right? But this is the kind of gender anarchy, and it's the latest form of human nature redefinition that the secular totalitarian left is now grabbing onto.
Paul, do you remember that story? I'm sure you do. I remember covering this story. This has been a number of years ago now, about a doctor on the East Coast who had a patient come to him. The little boy, there'd been a problem at birth, and his penis was cut off by accident. Something happened.
Yes.
And so the doctor thought that wouldn't be a problem. They could just apply, some surgery and start female hormones, and it wouldn't.
Right.
And he might have been a twin. It seems to me he had a sister. And he decided, he told his parents, "No big deal. You'll just raise him as a girl."
Right.
And then the story was that the boy just, they traced his life. There was a documentary on this. And the kid was just, he had a miserable life, really. And I think the doctor came out admitting that. Oh, you know more than I do, so I should let you pick that up.
No, you describe it well. I remember the case. And, it's just the idea that, well, you know, however you're born, that's just biology, right? It's really your culture and your surroundings, your socialization. That really defines who you are. But it doesn't. I mean, you've got 37 trillion cells in your body. I mean, think about that number, 37 trillion cells. And each of them has 46 chromosomes. I mean, you know, you are made a certain way. So you've really got to, you don't just got to merely manipulate your private parts. You got to manipulate. I mean, we've heard this term, Sandy. It goes against every fiber in my body. Right? Well, it goes against every cell in your body.
Yeah.
People need to apply some common sense. And here you see how ideology just so much dictates the way people on the left think and operate. And it really warps and perverts and disorders their very understanding of our nature. And they're playing with fire. You think you're helping people here, but in the vast majority of cases, I'm sure that you're not helping them, you're hurting them. When a liberal offers to help you, okay, run for the woods.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's for sure. And the point you make is a point we should repeat. The left will not allow you to remain agnostic. I was just saying on the show on another day this week that you may not even know this, Paul, but in the Justice Department, after Obama was put in office and as it began to move to the left, because the Justice Department is just about to fall off the cliff, it's moved so far to the left, they actually had an office memo that I shared on the air about your views of gay marriage. And this is before the Supreme Court made their decision. There were threats in memos about what you said and what you did in regard to gay rights. And it basically, I remember reading this, it said, be careful what you say at the water cooler because we're listening. And if there were showers in the office, you must attend, you must buy gifts, you must positively affirm. Not enough to just be quiet. And I think that's the point. They will, for whatever reason, I don't understand, they will not be silent until you bow the knee to their way. I'm not sure where that comes from. Is that character?
Well, it's a great question. David Horowitz at Front Page Magazine, they have this banner at the top. It said, inside every liberal is a totalitarian screaming to get out. And, you know, some people think that that's pretty harsh. And I remember the first time I thought of it, I thought, I probably shouldn't say that. That's a little over the top. But it certainly applies in so many cases. And these are the people that call themselves liberals, that talk about freedom, liberty, diversity, tolerance. But you know, they want to tell you what to do. If you know, they don't let you disagree. In the name of tolerance and diversity and inclusiveness, they coerce, they force. Tolerance for me, but not for thee. Diversity for me, but not for thee. You know, they are the most intolerant people in the world. When you disagree with them, they compel you, they force you, they sue you, they harass you, they destroy you, they dehumanize you, they demonize you. And it's amazing, but they often don't even see it. They don't even realize that they're doing it. These kind of like blatant violations of the very things that they profess, so visible to us, they often don't even get it. I think, frankly, it goes back to their education, their miseducation, where they've gotten this sort of brainwashing and indoctrination, where they can't even tell the difference. But it's crazy.
Well, you know, I remember I was in Cambodia. I'm not sure how many years ago, several. I visited the killing fields and I visited the S-21 prison, and I interviewed people that had lived through it. And one of the things that I remember well in the reading and in the descriptions from people that I talked to was that they would go, the Khmer Rouge would go from house to house. You didn't even know what you were guilty of. It was that you were not one of them. You did not think exactly as they thought. So you were suspect, and they would come up with any kind of an excuse to come after you and actually kill you. So, you know, masses of people were murdered because they did not think the same way as the Khmer Rouge. And that seems to be typical of the communist movement, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, and the Khmer Rouge, Pol Pot, they were textbook totalitarians, and I mean they completely went against the old order, the traditional biblical natural order. They were human nature redefiners. In fact, the Khmer Rouge did what the French Revolution did. They sought to literally redefine the calendar. They came up when 1975 became the year zero. That was the same thing that the Jacobins did in the French Revolution. I think it was 1794 became the year zero. They tried to get rid of the Anno Domini calendar, Christian-based calendar. And really, if you look at even the American left today, they've moved away from the words AD and BC to try to take Christ out of the calendar, just like the Khmer Rouge did, just like the Jacobins did. And I said, what are they using now, Sandy? I think it's BCE, ACE, and they've tried to take the C stands for current era, before current era. So just how kind of ridiculous the left is about these things. They keep the C in there so everybody still recognizes it, but for them, they've taken the Christ out of the C and replaced it with current. So this is a common tendency among the left, and I know liberals listening are screaming at the radio saying I'm comparing them to Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot and the Jacobins of the French Revolution. Well, I'm not. I'm comparing them on that particular point, but they do share some of these human nature redefining tendencies. And let me go further with this. I would say that today's American left is, in some degrees, whether or not, certainly not killing people like Khmer Rouge did in the killing fields, but in other ways, they're more extreme. Even the Khmer Rouge wasn't trying to redefine people's gender. Right, even the Jacobins weren't trying to redefine gender. I mean, you know, they knew that a boy was a boy, that a girl was a girl. So to some degree, the modern left is even more extreme in the things that they're trying to change. Again, 37 trillion cells in the body, each with 46 chromosomes. I don't think even Pol Pot would have tried to mess with that.
You know, when I've talked either with your other friends who are experts on this, I've had it explained to me that certainly in the communist movement, the idea was to untether people from anything familiar, whether it was family bonds, family relationships, old stories, the Christian story, to untether and shake up everything so that the state could have control. Do you see that? I mean, I don't think people, like certainly the Boy Scout directors probably don't think that way, but it is really, that is actually what is happening with people. They're losing touch with anything familiar, and they're easy prey for ideologies that are new to them. They're easy prey. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, it's true. Dostoevsky was credited with saying, if God does not exist, everything is permissible. And here again, sort of one common thing among the broader left, and, you know, again, liberals listening, I'm not comparing him to the Khmer Rouge, I'm not comparing him to the Jacobins. There's a publication out right now called The Jacobin. You can look it up. It's a popular publication among the modern left. It's actually called The Jacobin. But the one thing that they all hold in common is this idea that there is not natural, traditional, biblical absolutes. That's what Marx understood. It's what Engels understood. It's what the cultural Marxists, Herbert Marcuse, the Frankfurt School, Wilhelm Reich, it's what they understood. You mentioned the Weather Underground earlier, Bernardine Bilairs. It's what they understood. They're all going against the idea that there is an established, natural, traditional, biblical order. They all want to smash that. So you know, the typical liberal today who's trying to redefine gender, family, and marriage, they do hold that in common with these other extreme left people. And you know, I often say, Sandy, you know, they don't like conservatives. They attack conservatives. They don't like conservative Christians. They ought to be happy with us that at least we're consistent and easier to figure out. Right? I mean, we have a natural, traditional, biblical set of absolutes that we believe in. So for us, marriage is marriage, which means it's between one man and one woman. A boy is a boy. A girl is a girl. That's, you know, we're pretty simple. But for them, they're maddening because they're changing this stuff all the time. For them, you literally can't pin them down. If you ask them, okay, so in the Obergefell decision, you wanted to redefine marriage as what? It can now be between a man and a man, right? As well as a woman and a woman. And they say, yes. Okay, well, how about 10 years after Obergefell in 2025? Can marriage then be between three men? Could it be between two men and one woman? And really, their answer to that ought to be, I don't know. I'll tell you in 2025 when we get there. Because, you know, the progressive project is always evolving. It's always changing. You know, human nature is always being redefined in their own image. And, you know, that's the kind of madness that they're committed to, whether they know it or not.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we saw a little bit of this madness here in Washington just a couple of weeks ago, Paul, when the Women's March descended, I have to say my husband and I were there for part of it, and we were just shocked. I thought I was too old to be shocked. I guess not. And so let's talk about that and the influences that came together for that and how that ties into kind of what we're talking about here. My guest is Paul Kinger, and he's a professor at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. And we will be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
To the revolution of love. To the rebellion. To our refusal as women to accept this new age of tyranny, where not just women are in danger, but all marginalized people, where being uniquely different right now might truly be considered a crime. It took this horrific moment of darkness to wake us the f*** up. It seems as though we had all slipped into a false sense of comfort, that justice would prevail and that good would win in the end. Well, good did not win this election, but good will win in the end. So what today means is that we are far from the end. Today marks the beginning. The beginning of our story. The revolution starts here.
All right, the revolution starts here, says Madonna at the Women's March in D.C. And Paul Kinger is my guest. Paul, the revolution, what do you think she thinks she's talking about? Seriously.
Well, it's a good question. It's really hard to say. I wonder who got to her. You know, Madonna is a liberal. She calls herself a progressive, and, you know, you used the term earlier, they are easy prey to the communists, and, you know, people think that sounds crazy, but one of the honorary co-chairs for the Women's March was Angela Davis. And, in fact, if you go to the Women's March website, there are only, I think, four co-chairs, and the lead one listed is Angela Davis,
not in alphabetical order. Okay, hang on a second, because people of a certain age kind of know who Angela Davis is, but most people haven't a clue who she is, Paul. So who is she? I'm of a certain age, so I know.
Madonna should know who she is. Madonna's
absolutely.
Old. Yeah, Angela Davis, who also spoke at the Women's March, is the most famous communist woman in the history of America. She actually ran for president of the United States on the Communist Party USA ticket as vice president. Gus Hall, who was head of Communist Party USA for over 40 years, was the president on the ticket, and Angela Davis was the vice president. They ran in 1976. They ran in 1980 together. I think they also ran in 1984. By the way, Barack Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, said that he actually voted for Gus Hall and the Communist Party presidential ticket in 1976. And 1980, unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. But anyway, So Angela Davis, who is the most famous communist woman in the history of America, she was also on the FBI's 10 most wanted list in the 1970s. She was being pursued by the FBI for her, let me just put it, her possible role in the participation of a murder and a kidnapping. You know, as were Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn. Bill Ayers famously said, guilty as sin, free as a bird, America is a great country. But Angela Davis, public fugitive, American communist woman number one, and she was resurrected a few Saturdays ago, as one of the profiled speakers and the lead listed co-chair of the Women's March on Washington, in Washington, D.C., the day after Trump's inauguration.
And Paul, speak to the fact that she was sort of mentored by the Frankfurt School on Cultural Marxism by Herbert Marcuse. What does that mean exactly? Because that's part of what you write about in your article.
And the article is called Women's Marchers Unite at the American Spectator. And let me add, too, the Communist Party USA was one of the literal sponsors of the Women's March. And the terribly PR savvy, I mean, these people have no PR savvy at all. Maybe they'll learn better next year. They're so radical, the Women's March organizers, that they actually accepted and printed and listed Communist Party USA as one of the sponsors of the Women's March. Also, the Democratic Socialists of America was one of the sponsors of the Women's March. But Angela Davis was mentored by Herbert Marcuse. And Herbert Marcuse was the guru to the 1960s New Left. He was the leader of the cultural Marxists of the Frankfurt School. He was an American. He was actually German, but he came to America, taught at a bunch of different American universities. And it was the cultural Marxists that sought to smash monogamy and redefine people's sexuality, gender, and this entire totalitarian project of culture, gender, sexual transformation. So a lot of that stuff began. Wilhelm Reich was one of the leaders with Herbert Marcuse. He literally wrote the book, The Sexual Revolution, that the 60s Marxists all read. So all of that stuff happened in the universities. This is, if I may, a shameless plug. I lay all this out in my book, Takedown. It all happened in the universities in the 1960s and is now bearing fruit today. And there you have a bunch of 19, 20-year-old girls wearing these funny hats at the Women's March, and they're listening, of all things, to a 60, 70-year-old Angela Davis talk about the revolution, and Madonna talk about the revolution. Who knows what Madonna means by it, but I know what Angela Davis means by the revolution.
Yeah, and the whole point, you know, cultural Marxism, again, is tearing up the natural order. And, of course, as I watched the women march, Paul, and we saw their signs and the things that they held, I can't discuss them on the air, as you know. I can't use those words, and even if I could,
right,
I wouldn't want to. As a woman, I would not speak like that. Yet we have tens of thousands of women descending on Washington, really defiling themselves as women, defiling the city streets. I think of Ashley Judd, beautiful, gorgeous actress, just beautiful, fresh-faced, at least she used to be. And here she is calling herself a nasty woman and reciting the most vulgar things. Of course, we could get into the spiritual side of this, you and I both, easily, because there's evil at play here. But evil in the form of some tangible thing, and that was cultural Marxism.
Right. And you know, people listening are saying, come on, these girls don't even know what cultural Marxism is. Well, that's right. They don't. That's precisely the point. Angela Davis and the others do. Which means that all of these girls who go there that don't even know what it is, they don't realize how they're being manipulated, how they're being duped, how they're being enlisted in what Lenin and the Marxists used to call useful idiots. And one of my favorite quotes is from Whitaker Chambers, the famous ex-communist in his book Witness. And he said this, Sandy, while communists make full use of liberals and their solicitudes, and they sometimes flatter them to their faces. In private, they treat them with that sneering contempt that the strong and predatory almost invariably feel for victims who volunteer to help in their own victimization. And you could just see an Angela Davis looking at someone like Madonna and patting her on the back and telling her how wonderful she is and flattering her. But really, in private, she looks at her with a kind of sneering contempt, like, what a fool this woman is. She talks about the revolution. She doesn't get it. But I'm glad she's up there saying it. And I'm glad that when she does and she uses the F word and all these girls with the funny hats start cheering and screaming, they might not know what it is either. But but wow, this is great. You know, I'll take a million of them. I mean, Angela Davis could have never drawn a crowd like that, Sandy, if she was at a Communist Party USA rally in some corner of Chicago. But man, to have tens of thousands of them there in Washington cheering for her, not even knowing who she is, you know, that is fantastic.
You know, we also should add that, just as an aside, Bernadine Dorn and Bel Airs were both at the march. I don't know if you knew that, Paul. I had a friend who was there and took a picture of them.
Of course they were.
Yeah, of course they were. So
yeah, that's funny. I didn't know that. But and they knew enough not to list them as honorary co-chairs. But I guess they knew that enough of our young people today in our brainwashed universities wouldn't know who Angela Davis is, so they were able to get away with her.
Yeah, the irony here also, Paul, to the spiritual, it's hard to draw the lines here, but you mentioned this. You say the Holy Sacrament in the feminist church is abortion, and it certainly is. And a lot of those women were united around the so-called right that they screech and yell and are willing to be defile themselves to keep is the notion of abortion. We're going to run out of time here, but I don't think I've ever asked you, in Russia, communist Russia, and I know how they feel in China. They abort babies all the time. Was there any prohibition against abortion? Was that, I don't know, is that how they maintained their equality and worked like men in communist Russia because abortion was so available? I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. In fact, in Takedown, I have a chapter on this. One of the first things the Bolsheviks did was legalize abortion. Lenin had written in Pravda in 1913 on the need for abortion. The Soviet Union was really the first country to do it. And it got so out of control, Sandy, that in 1936, Stalin had to ban abortion because he was afraid they wouldn't have a country left. In 1955, Nikita Khrushchev brought it back because, you know, Trotsky and others had said, well, you can't be a good communist and ban abortion. You got to have abortion. So Khrushchev brought it back, and this will knock you off your chair. By the 1970s, they were averaging 7 to 8 million abortions per year in the Soviet Union. 7 to 8 million abortions per year. You know, America was what, about 1 million a year? 7 to 8 million a year. So they did easily over 100 million abortions. In communist Russia. Abortion truly, quite literally, annihilated the Soviet Union.
Well, you know, another story. I was in Russia right before the Soviet Union broke up, and I was in a hospital talking with a doctor and a Russian Orthodox priest who looked like he'd stepped out of the 16th century. And I interviewed them probably for 2 hours, Paul, and one of the things we talked about was the issue of abortion. And two things. They told me that abortion was used as birth control. But the other part of it is I asked them, because after 60 years of communism, since you have been taught there is no God, was there any conscience related to this? And it was interesting to hear the doctor say that women still had a conscience. There was still a sense that this was not, it was not nothing. It was something to take the life of your baby, which I thought was a stunning remark. But an interesting, let me just say that this article that Paul has written, Women Marchers Unite, we're going to put this on our Facebook page, and also his book that he's referred to a couple of times is Takedown, From Communists to Progressives, How the Left Has Sabotaged Family and something else. There's a
family and marriage.
Family and marriage. And both of those I highly recommend. We'll put links to those on our Facebook page as well. Paul, we just have a minute left. Do you see any hope right now? Do you think the pendulum has swung even ever slightly?
Well, yeah, and I'm very pessimistic, but let me end on a hopeful note. You know, conscience and natural law. You can't, even if you're an atheist or an agnostic, you still have that within you, whether you like it or not. And I think one battle that we're winning is the life battle, because young people today, through technology and ultrasound, they know that that's a baby in there, despite what the women's movement told them 40 years ago when they didn't have a window into the womb with ultrasound machine. Now, hopefully, through the biology they learn, they'll also be able to learn that 37 trillion cells, all with 46 chromosomes, is going to tell you that you're a boy or a girl no matter what you think you are, right? So hopefully technology and natural law and conscience will win out on that one, too. But I think we're losing the battle for now on family and marriage, but at least the number of abortions is at a historic low post Roe v. Wade in America, and I'm at least glad that that we're finally winning that one.
I do too, and that gives me the optimism to think that we can win the other one too, Paul, if we just continue to speak the truth to family and friends and also just talk about God, because you and I both know He orders our thinking. He's the author of all of this good stuff. He brought order out of chaos, and that's why we think as clearly as we do, no other reason. Paul Kinger, thank you so much for joining us. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.